malacha of ma'amer.
It's not so negilamaisa.
Even though it's a very, very machmer malacha, the post can point out that, you know, you don't have to, like, go to the field and gather bundles and bundles and fill a truck of hay to be over on ma'amer. Even if you just gather two apples and put them together, just two things, that's ma'amer, and they could be chayiv midoraisa. If I go and I gather two apples and put them together, then that's chiyuv chatas. But even though it's a very machmer malacha, for various reasons, it doesn't seem to be so lamaisa. And that's because there are a few klolim that restrict the applicability of meleches ma'amer. The first one is the machlokes between someone and Abayi on Davayim Gimlum Beis. If you gather salt from a place where salt, the water gets evaporated from seawater and leaves salt. That was the way they would make salt. They have these shallow ponds, evaporate the sun, would evaporate the water, and they would scrape up the salt. So, according to Abaye, you are chaya. According to someone, Rabba or Rava, you're chaya mishum ha'amer. And Abaye says back, no, ain't imor ella begidule karka. So this becomes a question of the Gersa. If it's Rabba versus Abaye, then we should pass on like Abaye because he's the Basra. If it's Rabba versus Abaye, then we should pass on like Rabba because they're the same generation and we have a rule. Everyone knows we pass on like Rabba except for Yal Kigan. So that depends on your Gersa. The Ramach, quoted on the Kesemish side of the Rambam, the Orzarua as well, had the Gersa of Rabba. They said, we got to hold like Rabba that there's Emer even in salt. However, most Rishonim, the Rambam and the Rush, had the Gersa of Rabba. And therefore, if it's Rabba saying there's Emor in salt, and Abaye saying there isn't, so we should hold like Abaye that ain't Emor elevably karkin, it's not considered ma'amer if you gather salt. That's what the Mechaber Paskin is to mention, Mem Se'if. Mechaber Paskin is to mention Mem Se'if Tes. Doesn't say in quite so many words, he just says that there's no Isser D'oraisa in gathering salt, and the obvious reason is because Ein Emer El B'Gidloi Karka, like Abaye says in the Gemara, against Rabba. The Magen Avraham points out that it's very logical that it should be Rabba, not Rabba, because Rabba's the one who says Ein Disha El B'Gidloi Karka. So if Disha is later in the process and only applies to B'Gidloi Karka, you think Kavah Homer, Emer only applies to B'Gidloi Karka. So the Maisa, we hold it's Abaye versus Rabba. We hold like Abaye in Emer Elabigidulai Karka. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says based on the Rambam and the Rush. However, the Shulchan Aruch says Mefurish that also the Kabbalist Melech Misra Rosa Melech Shadoma Lo Aber in Emer Elabigidulai Karka Midaraisa Midra Banon. There's Emer and salt. Chlokas Abaye, and we would say Rabba is only on the Daraisa level. Rabba holds your Chai B'chatas for gathering salt. Abaye holds Emer Elabidulai Karka Daraisa. Midraban, everyone agrees you're not allowed to collect salt. As the Shulchan Aruch says, V'chein also the Chai is called over Makim Gidulo. It's also to gather anything, whether it's Gidulai Karka or not. So there's an Issur D'Rabbanan. Even in non-Gidulai Karka, however, the post can assume it's not so Mefurish in the Rishonim and in the Shulchan Aruch, but the Poskim assume that the Issur D'Rabbanan is only for things that are almost like to do like Karka, like salt. Meaning there's no general Issur D'Rabbanan to do Emer of all things. The Issur D'Rabbanan on the Poskim assume is only in things like salt, which are, similar to Gedulei Karka. Therefore, let's say just for example, stringing pearls would pashas not be ma'aver. Pearls are in no way, any way similar to Gedulei Karka. They come from oysters that live in the ocean, I think. Or nowadays, I think they're made in factories. Some of them, not lucky. But in any case, the poskim seem to assume that ein bidaraisa imar is only gedulei karka. Even Rabban, it's only gedulei karka and things that look like gedulei karka, like salt from the ponds where it evaporates. But in stam things, there would be no malacha of imar. You know, if you would take take a bunch of toys and tie them together with a rubber band, that you take a bunch of cards, tie them together with a rubber band, lachor, that would not be imar, because it's not even similar to gedulei karka. The Shvisa Shabbos, the one I Xerox for you in Sif Gimel, brings that a bit of machlokes aposkim. What about things that don't grow in the earth but come from the earth, such as metals and gems and other things with you, and salt from the earth, not from evaporated water, like salt from salt mines? So he brings machlokes about that. Most poskim seem to assume that that's not considered gedulei karka, but he says machlokes. So the machlokes about things mined from the earth. So, for example, diamonds, if you gather diamonds from a diamond mine or anything else from a mine, whether that would be a chash doraisa, it's a machlokas, there's room for a chash mi doraisa. Still, we would think imur gedulei karka happens all the time. The main reason why it's not halacha l'maisedik is because of the Gemara in Beit Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph, and similarly you have in Shabbos Kofan Gemara in Beit, etc. The Gemara says in Forsh in Beit Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph that if you have a backyard with sticks, you can go collect firewood from your backyard. So you can collect gedulei karka, things that grow on trees, from your backyard on Yontif. And likewise on Shabbos Daf Kofan Gemara in Beit, the Gemara says it's only this would draw banan to gather fruits that spilled all over your yard. So obviously there's the Rishonim felt you need to have some restriction. If every time you gather gedulei karka was ma'amer, then why does it say in a few places that you're, at least on the deraisa level, you're taka allowed to gather things from your yard? So there are two main approaches in the Rishonim to answering this kasha. How come in these Beit Sadaf Laman Aleph Amin Aleph it's matur collecting firewood, and in Shabbos Kofim Gimel Amin Beis it's, at least on the deraisa level, matur collecting fruits? So basically machlokes Tosfos versus the Rambam. Tosfos says ein imar ela v'makom shegad el sham, that imar only applies in the actual place where the crops grew. That's what amar means. You go to the field first, what did they do in the old days? They would just cut down all the wheat, and then they would go around and make another trip and gather it all together. Just gathering it from where it grew, that's ma'amer. But if it's in your yard, that's obviously not where it grew. That's just where it spilled, or you dumped it, or whatever. If it's not where it originally grew, that's just not the tsura of the malach of ma'amer. Ma'amer is agricultural, has to do with the field. It's like the next step of kotzer. So that's what Tosfos, the Rambam Beit, also agrees, seems to say to answer this question. Says, the Rambam, he doesn't attack the question straight off, but the Rambam is obviously bothered by this question, and the Rambam has a different approach. And even though the Kesem Mishnah quote in the Ramah doesn't make this very clear, but all the Achronim point out the Rambam has a different approach. The Rambam never ever brings down Tosfos' idea. He never says there's a difference in the place it grew and the place that it, and someplace else. The Rambam rather says that when he gives his examples of Ma'amer, he says, the Rambam, when he gives examples of Ma'amir, says if you take figs and you squish them together into a big cake, that's Ma'amir. Or you string them together on a string, that's Ma'amir. Seeming to imply Ma'amir has something to do with taking a lot of things and combining them into one object. The Rambam as well, in the Pirush Mishnayos on Daf Ayin Gimel, when he defines the Mishnah of the Av Malacha of Ma'amir, he says, one second. Ma'amar agodish amar akturin achalachas ve'amar shem agudav zulasam ma. There he's not clear. Okay. But the Rambam nonetheless seems to hold like there's a the Meiri and the Ram saying that by Gimel, the Ram is not so clear. There's Mishnayos that Ma'amer, what was the original Ma'amer? How was it done in the Mishkan, in the field? You would take all your wheat, and what does the farmer do? He ties it all together and makes it all one. He's Mechaber, he makes it into Guf Efetz. The Rambam seems to be of the opinion that Ma'amer means when you make something into Guf Echad. And that's why the Rambam can explain why if I just stam gather firewood, is that not from my backyard, is that not Ma'amer? Because I'm not making it Guf Echad, I'm tying the firewood into a bundle. I'm just gathering it and putting it in a basket and bringing it to my, and bringing it home. And that's why the Rambam says, if stam, fruits fall in my chutzpah, that's not Ma'amer. Because I'm not sticking them together and making them into one unit. It's like Zera, also I might make it into one unit. The Rambam seems to hold that Emor equals if you attach all the chetzes together and you make them into one unit. So we have two very different ideas of why stam picking up wood from your yard is not Emor, either because Emor only applies in the field or because Emor only applies when you tie things together and make them one unit, like the Meiri and the Ran comment on Daf Ayin Gimel of Maseches Shabbos. The Halacha L'Maisa, which one of these? L'chor, we have to pass like at least one of these, so you have to explain why it's mutter to gather firewood on Yontif, and why it's mutter on the Daraisa level to pick up your fruits that spilled in your Chatzar on Shabbos. So which one do we pass like? So the Mechaber is, the Tur and the Mechaber, make somewhat of a pshara. The turn and the Mechaber both say the same thing. They say, Osir l'kabiz melech, simin shin mem siftes, min misrifos ha-melech, shedomo l'ma'amer, v'kein osir l'kabiz kol dover, min mokom gidulo. First they say it's osir to gather anything from mokom gidulo, sounding like Tosfos. Then he says, ha-makabiz tzvelo v'yosu menu eagle, o shenokav te'inim v'hichtas ha-chel v'hamad shinskapsu guf echad, if you either make all the figs into one big cake, or you string them all and make them guf echad, reza toldos ma'amer r'chayiv, hein kol v'yosu, that's a toldos ma'amer r'chayiv. And he doesn't say anything about where you do it. So it seems to be that the Mechaber and Halacha L'Maisa, this is what all the poskim, this is what the Mishnah, all the poskim assume, is that we accept both of these svaras. That Emor is only either B'makom Shegadol Sham or if you attach them in making one unit, even at home. There are two ways to have emor. Either you just gather them together in the field, or at home, you string them or you press them together and you make them into one unit. But if you're at home and you're just gathering them, then that is not emor. What's the logic of this? So the Mishnah Berurah brings down that the logic of this is what's considered to be really part of the professional process of Melechus Machshavas of Emor that's normally done, that the Torah meant, the derech to do Emor, so everyone else, the derech to gather things together in the field, that's an important step in the agricultural process. Gathering them together at home is not a thing that's normally done as part of the agricultural process. You gather them in the field and they're already together. Why would you gather them together at home? But if you have to do more processing, like you have to squeeze them together into one cake, or you have to string them onto a string to sell them, or some other type of processing, that would be a normal part of the agricultural process to do that someplace else. You might bring them to a factory, or in those days, you know, to a different field or to your house, and press them into figs, then press them into cakes, or string them onto strings there. So therefore, it's considered part of the professional type of ma'amir to either gather them in the field, or wherever you are, to attach them and make them into one unit. Either those are considered me'amer mida oraisa, this is the av, and this is the tolada, but if you just gather them at home, that's not me'amer at all.
Even though the case, the real av, the case of wheat, is where a person is doing it in the field and tying them together in the field.
Well, that is where a person is doing it in the field and tying them together in the field. So you see here, it's a little tricky. Tying them together, l'chora, at home, it doesn't sound from the Mishnah Berurah like he's Machai, if you want. Doesn't sound like he's calling that Guf Echad.
Tying them together?
Yeah. Because that's not something normally done at home.
Do you normally bring all your wheat home and then start tying it together? The only reason tied together is to carry it home.
But I also, when I read the Mishnah Berurah, I wasn't sure the Mishnah Berurah was quoting the Nishmas Adam. I wasn't sure if he was cosigning the Mishnas Adam. I just thought he was quoting the Mishnas Adam.
But the Mishnas Adam explains the Machaber.
But it didn't seem like, from the way the Mishnah Berurah quoted, it didn't seem to me that the Mishnah Berurah was saying, and this is the correct interpretation of the Machaber, this is a possible.
You have a different interpretation of the Machaber?
Yeah, the Mechaber is passing, is saying both leniencies of Tosfos and the Rambam. That
so the Mechaber would say if you're Mechabit Zveil V'Osim Yen Eagle at home, you're Potter?
Yes.
I think you should have said that then. Yeah, sure, but I don't think it's Pshat in the Mechaber. I think the Mishnah Berurah has the right Pshat in the Mechaber. And I think it's very dachic to say the Mishnah Berurah brings only one Pshat in the Mechaber, and he doesn't mean to pass it like it. Pashtas, he's passing like Pshat and Mechaber, so there are two separate Isurim. If you gather in the field, no matter how you gather, that's the Al-Malacha. If you make them into Guf Echad Mamish, no matter where you make them into Guf Echad Mamish, that's the Tolada. But, Stam gathering at home is Mutter. That's, I think, what the Mechaber is saying. So it's only Mutter if you're not making them into Guf Echad and if you're not in the Makom Gidula. Yes, Dev.
But you said the Rambam has a requirement that it has to be a Guf Echad. He's going to talk about the case of the Shayach that could be made Guf Echad. He's not discounting the cases like the after.
So you see, that's unclear. The Kesef Mishnah might intend it. The Kesef Mishnah and the Machaber, the Kesef Mishnah seems to imply by quoting the Ramach, that who says Machaber Gedula, that the Rambam is holding this, double-edged sword. That this is exactly the issue to the Rambam. The Rambam takes into account both factors. It's not posh to me the Rambam takes into account both factors. He never says anything about Gav Gedulo. Posh, you would say the Rambam only cares about Gav Echad, but he counts tying as Gav Echad.
I noticed in the apple case, when the Rambam quotes.
Where does the Rambam quote apples?
He says can you pin one by one instead of playing them as the best directly.
Oh, that's a Gzeir Drabbanan, he said. If you put them in his basket, you might squish them into Gav Echad. He said that in the Forge.
Squish apples into Gav Echad.
That's his problem, not my problem.
I guess
the Rambam said before, you might squish them together into Gav Echad. Now, okay, I don't know what kind of apples he had, v'chuli, and the stuff that the Rambam said, you might squish him to Gav Echad, then he meant that you might squish him to Gav Echad, and he knew apples better than we do. I mean, whatever they meant by it, he peiros, right? Ha-megdabit peiros ha-shiyesu Gav Echad chayim yishabamir. And therefore, you can't gather them, because you might end up doing ma'amir. So, unclear, you can say whatever you want. I think Pasha the Rambam, I think most of the Achronim say, Pasha the Rambam is the Rambam only, was only mechayiv you for making Guf Echad. What about the wheat? You tie it, and he called that also Guf Echad. What about the salt? Everyone knows we put salt together. That modern like anti-clumping techniques, it makes Guf Echad. Right? You have to work hard to like put in rice or keep it away from moisture and make it not Guf Echad. But in any case, what the Mechaber interprets the Rambam, or he ends up saying, is that there's two types of ma'amer. Malkum Gedulah is always ma'amer, and once you take them someplace else, it's only ma'amer if you make them Guf Echad. Why? Because that's the gedder of the normal agricultural process. The two other principles here about that don't come up in the Mechaber about Ma'amer. So, in any case, though, Lemaisa for us, since we don't have fields. Now, you might like if you have a backyard and you have a tree and it grows apples or something. Some apples fell. Of course, you wouldn't pick them up. They fell on Shabbos. That was last year. Fell on Friday, and you pick up two apples, you're chayav mida rice misha ma'amir. But normally, if we don't have fields, so at home, the only way you can do ma'amir is if we string them or press them into a cake or somehow make them guf echad, which is not a common thing for us to do. There are some other principles, but Shvitza Shabbos quotes some other principles. Shvitza Shabbos and the Aruch HaShulchan both say, Shvitza Shabbos is the one on that page. The Aruch HaShulchan is, I think, in Simon Shin Mem here someplace, say that there's a Ein Imor. In the Shtanet Tzurasa. Once you change the tzura from the thing you pick from the ground, there's no Imor anymore. Because Imor is part of the agricultural process of basically getting these fruits ready to use. If I gather wheat and I bake them into bread, if then I squish all the breads together somehow and I make challah kugel, that's not Emor, it's only Emor, the original fruit that I cut off the ground. Not if I make some product out of some changed form of the fruit. There's another machlokes de Eglei Talmud, when other people discuss it. The Eglei Talmud is Masopak, he says machlokes Rishonim, he thinks. It's machlokes of all the Achronim. Is there Emor Achor Emor? Let's say I'm in the field and I gather my apples into one basket, and then they fall and I regather them in the field. So, do we say that's Emor because it's in the field? Or do we say, no, any Emor Achor Emor once is Ma'omer once, it cannot be Ma'amir again? That seems to be a machlokes, but in any case, even without that rule, Lamaisa Emor hardly ever happens for us unless you're in the field. It's just very unlikely that you get into a shaiva of Emor in our world. What is a little more shy to us, perhaps, is what the Shulchan Aruch discussed in Siman Shin Lamed Hey, Se'if Hey, from the beginning of Perek Chas, which is a certain Zerud Rabbanah that may or may not be connected to Emor. The Gemara says in Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis that we mentioned before that if you drop your basket of fruits and they spilled all over the place, that's not an Issur D'oraisa to gather them together, but it is an Issur D'rabbanan Shelo Yaseh Kederech Shu Osa B'chol. That's the Shulchan Aruch said. Nispazru Lo Peiros B'chotzer Echad Heina Ve'echad Heina. Right? If your Peiros spilled all over the place, then the Gemara says you can pick them up one by one and eat them, but you can't just gather them all into a basket, because that's some Issur D'rabbanan of the B'chol. So the a few questions. One is, the Gemara says you can pick them up one by one and eat them, but you can't gather them into a basket or a kupa sal, different types of, you can't gather them into a basket. What if you gather them but not into a basket? Like what if you gather them into your pockets or into your arms? So that is a machlokes rishonim. Our Gersa says, malakit ya'at ma'at ve'ochel. You can only gather them one by one as you eat them. You can't actually gather them all up, no matter what you use. Basket is an example. But you can't gather them up at all. You can just take one, eat it, take another, eat it, but you can't gather them all together. Tosfos and the Rush says, no, that's the wrong gear, so it should say malakit mimenu, ma'at ma'at. It should say you can just gather them little by little and then gather them all together. So Tosfos and the Rush say you can gather them all together as long as you don't use a basket. As long as you just put them in your pockets or keep them in your arms. The arguers in the Gemara, the Machaber, the Rambam, say that you can only eat them one by one, but you can't gather them all together. Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Gra, Psak Halacha, that he was Machaber in this, against Tosfos, like arguers, Malakim, Menem, Adva, Ochel. You can't gather them at all, not in the basket, not in your hands, not in your pockets. If you drop, let's say you have a big sack of pistachio nuts, and you drop them all over your chatzer, midrabanan, you can't gather them all together in any way, shape, or form. All you can do is pick one by one and eat them. But you can't gather them all, you can't clean up the pistachio nuts. So, the question that Rishonim were bothered by is, why can't you clean up the pistachio nuts? The Gemara says it's not Mishnah D'oraisa, it's not Ma'amar D'oraisa. Why is not Ma'amar D'oraisa? Because it's not in the field, and you're not making them gof echad. So why can't you pick up your pistachio nuts? There are three opinions as to why you can't pick up your pistachio nuts. The Rambam says, Gezeira, you might squish them into a guf echad. So the Rambam says, Gezeira atu ma'amir. You might squish them into a guf echad. That's rejected by the Poskin, the Beis Yosef rejects it, the Machaber doesn't bring it down. We don't accept the Rambam's shot. Probably just because, you know, most peiros, it's not necessarily derech to squish them into a guf echad. You know, pistachio nuts, for example, they're just not shy to meld all your pistachio nuts into guf echad. So the Rambam's shot, we do not accept la bacha. What?
Maybe if there is that you'll do something else
to you'll
make something else into a guf echad, which wouldn't.
Oh, okay, that's possible. The Rambam doesn't sound that way. The Rambam's Lashon is in Perek Chafal of Halacha Yud Aleph, I think. The Figach, which is Pashlo, Pesach, Chesir, Malaka, El Yadol, Yavar, Ochel, Lo Yitin, Lo Tav, Salvas, Zuchuk, Kedar, Shu, Osu, Bechol, Shem Yasek, Kedar, Shu, Osu, Bechol, Shema, Yich, Beshem, Biyod, Ava, Socha, Kupa, Biyavu, Lidei, Imo. Sounds like Yich, Beshem, these Peros. You might squeeze them into the basket really hard, And that's why they emphasize these sort of baskets and be ma'amir. Okay, but that's, we don't hold like that, Rambam. There are two other pshatim. The Ramban says that it's talking about a case where the fruit fell, not on a clean floor, but it says a chotzer. They fell in your yard. And there are rocks and dirt on the floor. So your let's say your apples, your big bag of apples fell all over the place. And there's some rocks and dirt. So therefore, it's us who pick them up because it's a nira, it looks like borer. Right, so Ramban says, it looks like borer. Now, why is it an actual borer if it fell someplace with here are rocks and dirt? And you have to pick up the apples and leave the rocks and dirt. So the Ramban himself was more makel on borer. This we'll see is a big issue. This is from Sedeshin. The Ramban himself said it's not actual borer because they're big fruits and you can tell what's what. That's not borer. That's the sheet of scuffle. That's from Sedeshin. We'll get to it soon. The Ramban says it's not real borer because when you have like it's clearly visible what's what. That's not real borer. However, the Mishnah Berurah is our master, not his idea, this that we're passing the Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says no. The Mishnah Berurah says, really, it's real poker to pick them up out of the upper of its rules. So, why is it only Mishnah Rabbanan? Mishnah Berurah says, because you're taking Ochel Mitoch Psolis Beyad to eat La'alter, which we know are the three conditions of Berurah. So, Mishnah Berurah, unlike the Rabbanan said, it's not real Shaychus Borer, it's just a Borer to Rabbanan. The Mishnah Berurah says it is real Shaychus Borer. The Gzeir to Rabbanan is even when you fulfill the three conditions of Borer, it's still Usser.
Why is it Usser?
Why is it still, if you fulfill the three conditions?
You just said that we're taking care of all of our classic Marabonis. That's your only problem, then what are you worried about?
So the truth is, according to him, it's a little tricky. So why is it Asher Rabbanan? Is it like, it looks like Borer anyway, which is funny. Why should it look like Borer anyway any more so than anything else? I guess you just have to say it's Uvdu Dechol. It's life work. What? Which is what the Gemara says. The Gemara says Ovdu D'chol. So whatever anyone says, you can. The problem with Ovdu D'chol is that Ovdu D'chol is a very difficult word to understand in the Gemara. So it's not clear whether Ovdu D'chol means it looks like a very specific halacha, or Ovdu D'chol just means, you know, it seems onerous and work-like.
I'm saying once he enters the world of Torah, he's got to do something. The Gemara says that.
Right, so the Mishnah Berurah actually is a modified Ramban. The Ramban himself says it's a borer, direct bonnet, it looks like borer, even though it's not really shaykh, it's a borer when you just have things spilled on the floor. The Mishnah Berurah says it's borer, modish if you have things spilled on the floor. And you're doing it with the three conditions of borer. It's just usher, because it's an, according to the Ramban, it looks like borer. According to the Mishnah Berurah, it's thumb, it's work. It's also a lot of work when you have things on the floor and you're sorting out the fruits from these rocks and the dirt. It just seems like work. So that's a good ha'ar. He's not really remaining very loyal to the original formulation of the Ramban. What do you think, Josh?
So he tosses borer in as not really a problem if you do it the right way.
Correct. He doesn't contradict borer at all. So he's interpreting the shot of the Ramban, but in a different way, which is fine because we don't pass like the Ramban. So he adapts the sock of the Ramban for our. He just said if it would just be stam on the floor, then it would just be stam on the floor. It wouldn't look like work. You're just picking things up. But you have to take them out of one thing or the other. Then even though you fulfilled all the conditions of matzah and kor, it still seems like work. The third shot is Rabbeinu Yonah, who says it's scattered widely. And then it's like work. He says, of course you can pick things up on Shabbos, that's not considered a Rabbanan, but if things are mamish scattered all over the place, they're not just dumped in a pile. but they're all over the yard. If things are all over the yard, it's like raking leaves all over the yard. So raking leaves, mamish, could already be a shasha ma'amer. That thing that fell between midulo. Let's say it wasn't leaves. Let's say someone dropped papers all over your yard. So still raking up all those papers, if they're all over your yard, it's like a big job. So that's of the whole, that's Shana Rabbeinu Yonah. So we have three pshatim as to what the problem is. The Rambam says the Xavier, you might squish them together and do Ivor. Rabban says it's only an Uvdi Dechol if it's mixed in with dirt. And the, but then there's a bit of a focus, the Rabban thinks, but there's no Shaykhus of Borer. Well, the Mishnah Berurah says there is Shaykhus of Borer, and it's Usser even if you fulfill the three conditions of Borer. But it's Pashut that it's Usser if you don't fulfill the three conditions. And Rabbi Yonah says it's just very much, very work-like if you have to gather them up from all over the place. What? So the problem is nobody knows what Uvdi Dechol means in Shas. It seems to be machlokas whether you should try to interpret it as a gzeira up to a specific malacha or just like a tircha kind of issue. Or maybe not tircha, but it seems like more professional. So Rabbi Yonah here, all the achronim understand him as being out the tircha. Although, even these, it's very unclear. You see, the whole phrase of the dechol, that's the problem. If you are achronim, they like to go, I other say Rabbi Yonah is to the tircha. But it's not so clear what of the dechol means. Does it mean tircha? Does it mean it just seems work-like in some vague sense? Does it mean it's a gzeira atu a just another way of saying gzeira atu a malacha? Unclear.
Almost all cases, it seems like only because you're going to need it.
Like here. Right. Now, Ramban is also trying to do that. He's making this into something that's similar to Borer. But Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't seem to be making it to Xero Atum Malacha. It's what's the difference Atum Malacha, whether it's one pile you pick up or whether it's scattered all over. So many yonah seems to be a matter of just work. Now, whether work means how many calories you have to expend in terms of the effort, or just in some vague psychological sense, does it seem like work? We're not sure. But yeah, that's a fundamental machlokes, and how to interpret the phrase of the dechol. Very unclear how to interpret the phrase of the dechol. Because it's just strange sometimes to figure out why some things are considered of the dechol and other things aren't. Right? You know, why should using the same toothbrush during the week be an of the dechol as opposed to anything else? So, that's. Might be easier if you say it's associated with malacha and there's some slash malacha there. Might be harder if you just say it's very professional or you have to exert yourself a lot. Okay, we'll have to get to that. Lin ma'aseh, though, halach l'maisa, the mechaber paskins, like he's machmer, like both 2 and 3. The mechaber says, if it's spilled among dirt and rocks, that's usur, because the Rabban might be right. If it's spilled all over the place, that's usur, because the Rabbeinu Yonah might be right. But if it's spilled in one place without any dirt, then it's mutter. Because then only the Rambam's crash is left, and the Rambam's wrong. That's what Machaber says, and it's possible if here's Bechotzer Achad Heini Be'achad Heina, if they're spread all over the place, then Malakim Atva Fa'ochel, you can pick it up one by one and eat, or little by little and eat. Flo Yitim Zorasal Tocha Kukum, but it's usur to Rabban to put in a basket. If you nuflu, that's a renyon. If you nuflu, makam echa, no son if you look us out. But if it's all in one place, not all over your yard, then you can even put it into a basket. Ella and came, but here he has the Ramban, nuflu tok truros, vafuriyo shabachasr, unless it fell among the pebbles and dirt. Sha'oz malaki echa vechra ocha, lo yitam tok asav, lo tok hakupa, because if it fell among the dirt, and the Ramban is also right, that you can just pick up little by little and eat, and not put in a basket. So the Chaber's machmer that both Ramban and renyon might be right. So it's usur, either if it falls all over the place, or if it falls among dirt, and it's only mutter if it falls in one pile in a clean on a clean floor.
Well, he adds the point to Rabban that you can't put it in, right? You can't put it in, right? You can't put it in one basket. You can't put it in a basket at the end. Why?
Because that's the issue. That you can't gather them all together. You can pick up one by one and eat it. That's not an issue.
Okay.
The Rabbanim only goes around putting them all together. Now, Lamaisa, does this apply? This, even though Ma'amar hardly applies to us, this Gzeira Drabbanan might apply very much, right? Anyone whose kids know that the kids stay home on Shabbat, they play, they throw the toys all over the house, and then someone has to go collect the toys from all over the house. So, is that clearly not ma'amir to collect the toys all over the house. They're not gedulei karka, and it's not the makom gedulam, and you're not being the davik that should go for echad. But is this gzeira drabanan if you gather them from all over the house or not? So there are two tzadim to be. Some people would say it's aser. There are two tzadim to be makel that you're allowed to clean up the toys. First question is, the Mechaber says, as possible appears b'chatzer. Does this zera apply to a bias or only to a chatzer? So the Mishnah Brura in Siman Shin Mem Sifkatan Lamed Zayin says, Nispaz repairs the bias afilu isur nami leko shemakab son yachav. Ayin le'el sim shin lamed hesafei. If your fruits get scattered around your house, there's not an isur at all to gather them together. And see sim and shin lamed hey. So like most people understand the Mishnah Berurah. That's Rabbi Eider in Ma'amir Ha'orim Mem Aleph, 39 Melachos book on page 312. Understand what's the Mishnah Berurah trying to say. The gzeira is only in a chaser. But in the house, they never made a gzeira. Why? Well, of course, there are bonnets. Plus, why there's no gzeira in the house? Because in the house, there's not a lot of dirt on the floor. Right? You don't, normally, you don't have pebbles and dirt all over the floor of your house. Even according to Rabbeinu Yonah, where you might think they should have ushered in the house, it could still be that it doesn't seem so work-like to clean up your house. It's not as much of an obdu dechol as working outdoors. Indoor work is not so obdu dechol. So, most poskim seem to assume, many poskim seem to assume there's no gzeira in the house. Not everyone agrees. The Bris Olam in Ma'amer Sif Zayin is machmer. And this, he says, the issur even applies to a house. The Shabbos home also seems to be afraid to be machriya l'chula. But the Ma'isa, according to Ramban, for sure there's no issur in the house. He says that explicitly, no dirt in the house. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, you can go either way. Sacha Kol, we're dealing with gzeira Ramban and many achronim are mako. So, you can be mako to, if you drop your pistachio nuts in your house, that you can clean them up and assume that the Mechaber only meant what he said, which is the chatzer.
So,
in other
words, the kids' toys that are spread around your yard.
What if the kids' toys are spread around your yard? Right, so in the house, maybe this dinner only applies to the chatzer, but what if Taki, your kids mess up the chatzer and leave their toys all around the chatzer? So then, there's still a tzad to be mako, although this seems to be a bit of a chidsh. I saw in the Sefer Shabbos home quotes from the Sefer Ayol Meshulash. I don't know if we have an Ayol Meshulash here, do we? So the Sefer Ayol Meshulash, I thought the Sefer Ayol Meshulash was about Borer, but I guess it's also about this.
I think it came out with Borer first.
And that's why it's called Ayol Meshulash.
It could be also Borer.
Right, for Ochel Yad Alter, Meshulash. But maybe it ties in somehow. Anyway, Lemaaseh, right, so it does tie in. Lemaaseh, quotes from the Ayol Meshulash, that even though this Gzeira, we already rejected the Rambam, recall. So we say this Gzeira has nothing to do with Ma'amir, right? It's either maybe because of Borer, because of just work, effort, it's a lot of work. So even though Gzeira has nothing to do with Ma'amir, the Ayol Meshulash quotes, he doesn't usually say he quotes, but I don't know, didn't say it was from, that the gzeira only applies to gedulei karka, even though the reason is not because of ma'amir. Still, like the Rav like to say, that the reason for gzeira might be one thing, but the way they make the gzeira is they try to fit it into the doraisas. So even though the reason was not necessarily because of ma'amir, they said since it's a ma'amir like thing, they were only gozer and gedulei karka, and they weren't gozer and toys, which don't grow in the ground. So that's the cool the Shabbos home brings from the Ayol Meshulash. That the gzeira only applies to gedulei karka, so you could clean up toys even from a yard. Everyone said he thought that kula was reasonable. It's a chiddush, but there's certainly arba kilim to even clean up toys from a yard. Okay, that's I think all we have to say about ma'amir, unless anyone has other questions. It's an interesting talk where Moshe talks about what about making a bouquet of flowers. And Moshe assumes that making a bouquet of flowers is not ma'amir, because that's not like gathering them together as part of the, just making the raw material. That's just making a pretty bouquet. I think Zemar Rachor is a rule like this, actually, somewhere. who says that ma'amar is only if you're like trying to protect the things by getting them together to make it easier to work with, not if you're just like making a pretty bouquet. But he says anyway, you're not allowed to make a bouquet of flowers because he considers it makom patash. So not much of an afkamina there.
How about other types?
What?
Or like other types of food? Do you go to like a kiddush with like carrots tied together?
So in that, let's say I would tie together the carrots or whatever it may be. So that seems like that would not be ma'amir because it's not the makom gidulo, and we're not really being medavik them to go fechad. The Mishnah Berurah makes it sound machaber like tying is not the kind of go fechad that's usher even at home. Now tying is what's done in the field normally, right? That's where you normally tie things. You don't normally tie carrots at home. That's just some shtick they do for decoration, maybe. So I think that's exactly what Moshe said. Some shtick you do for decoration, that's not what ma'amir means. So the chore, that wouldn't be ma'amir. Now, the next avalok is dash. When it comes to dash, what we first have to try to be mavarir before we get into the details is what exactly is the malach of dash. So everyone probably knows the famous rach on the Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, who tells us very seriously before we can even start what's the difference between dash and boker. Right, there are four av malachas that seem very similar. Dash, Zora, Borer, and Merakev. They're all separating the good from the bad. Now, Zora, Borer, Merakev, Taka, they seem very similar because they are very similar, and the Gemara actually says they're all pretty much the same thing anyway. So that's okay that they're all similar. They really are the same thing, more or less. I'll have to figure out the subtle differences, but Zora, Borer, Merakev really are the same thing. Let's just call all three of those Borer for now. But what's the difference between Borer? Zora, Borer, Merakev are the same thing, the Gemara says. But dash is a totally different thing. What's the difference between dash, which is separating the good from the bad? That's a thresher. Right? It means the wheat is in some sort of husk. You break the husk and get out the wheat. Borer is also separating the good from the bad. So, very important yesod. The Rach says that there's a fundamental difference between dash and borer. Dash means when the heter is stuck on the isser. The isser is stuck on the heter. And you see the word separating is really dash. The heter is stuck on the isser, or the isser on the heter, let's say. The isser is stuck on the heter, and you're unsticking them. You're breaking that glue and making them two separable entities. That's dash, when two things are stuck together and you're unsticking them. Even though they might still be in a mess and a jumble altogether, like real threshing. In real threshing, you would just put all the wheat on the floor and the oxes would step on them, right? Osaks, I'm sure, would be show. And when the ox stepped on them, you would break all the husks that were capped and encapsulated the wheat kernels. And he would free the wheat kernels from the husks. He would free them from being stuck to psolus. But there was still a big mess on the floor. Psolus and ochel all strewn together. That's what you need Zohar, Bor, and Barakit to separate them. So that separating is dosh. Separating things that are stuck to one another. Although, I'll have to define the word stuck. That's going to be the tricky part, as we know. Borer is a totally different idea. Borer means things are not stuck to one another at all. They just happen to be occupying the same space and jumbled together. That happens to be a mess. The things aren't stuck together. It's just a mess. You have a little this and a little that. It's all in the same place. And someone needs not to separate them, even though we do use the word separate, but let's say to sort them out and put these things on one pile, the other, the ochel on one pile, the psolus on another pile. That is Zohar Borer and Merakim. And things aren't stuck together, they're just jumbled in the same location and you need to sort them out. So that's the difference between Disha and Borer. So let's stick with Disha for now. Dash means, again, Dash does not apply when things are each mind their own business just in the same place and you need to sort them into piles. That's called Borer. Dash means when they're stuck together and you need to free them from each other. Or free the ochel from the psolus, actually. That's dash. Now, the complicated question is, which the Gemara never defined. The Gemara never even defined that. But that was obvious. What the Gemara never defined is exactly what kind of stuck together is the kind of stuck together that it would be dash to separate. And this seems to be a very fundamental machlokas. If you look in daf, for example, in daf ayin, Gimel Amud Beis. The Let's start with the Ramah. The Ramah says, we learned this already, in Siman Shin Lamed Vav, Se'if Ches, a yichur that was broken off the tree, Shenifshach, right? Nifshach means even if it's like the bark is still a little attached, but it's basically broken off the tree Erev Shabbos, right? If the branch is broken off the tree Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to take the fruits off the branch on Shabbos. And his main point there, the Chazak in Shin Lamed Vav, is it's not kosher if the branch is already broken off. But he's also assuming that it's not dush. Why is it not dosh? You are disattaching the oil of the fruits from the psoles, which is the branch, which is sakol going to go in the garbage, not attached to the tree, and just going to go in the garbage. So why isn't that dosh? The same question about ma'isim kol yom. You have grapes at home, you take them off the, what is it called? The cluster, whatever you call it, on Shabbos. So why isn't that dosh? You're taking off, you're separating the ochra from the psoles. So that bothers a lot of people. The Prima Gadim in Siman Shin Lamed Vav has one approach to the geder of dosh. Says, dosh is only is not separating anything that's glued, stuck together. That's not dosh. Dosh is only taking out something that's inside something else. If the ochel is inside, it's surrounded and enclosed by the psoles, that's dosh. Like the wheat kernel, which, I mean, just because of the way Hashem made it grow naturally, I guess it should be protected from the elements or whatever it may be, is totally surrounded and enclosed by the husk. So according to the Prima Gadim, the getter of dosh is not just breaking apart things that are attached to each other. It's only breaking apart things that are stuck to each other because one is enclosed in the other. Freeing something from a jail where it's enclosed. That's the only thing that's called dosh, according to the Prima Gadim. Many classic examples of dosh seem to fit in with this. Like, for example, Rashi says, milking a cow is dosh, which makes a lot of sense, because the milk is enclosed inside the udder of the cow. Squeezing out wine from grapes or oil from olives is dosh, tolad of dosh, sochet, because it's enclosed inside the skin of the olive or the grape. And actual threshing is, of course, dosh, so the wheat kernel, I've been told, is enclosed in the husk or something like that. That's the derech of the Prima Gadim. There's a few Rishonim where it's not clear if they really fit in with this. One is the Rabbeinu Hananel about the words. One second. Yeah, nipots, minapis. Where it says menapetz is part of the malacha of dosh. So what does menapetz mean? So Rabbeinu Hananel says menapetz means you shake off the dirt that's encrusted on your plant, on your food. That's Rabbeinu Hananel says Davayin Dalam Aleph, right before the famous one. No peitz afuris mina ochel. So You shake off the dirt that's encrusted on your food. Meaning, even though you've taken it out of the ground, right? Let's say I take a potato or something out of the ground. It has dirt on it that's stuck on it. If I unstick that dirt, that is dosh. So Rabbeinu Hananel seems to assume that even if something's not enclosed, it's still dosh to break apart something that is attached. What?
Unless you count that as a plus. I'm saying rust it around something.
You mean maybe it's all covered in dirt, so it's enclosed in dirt.
Dirt,
it's what's his lashon? Let's see. Yes. Let's find it again. Yeah, no faith afurus min ha'ochel. Okay, maybe we don't think you could say that. The Achronim are also bothered by Rashi on Daf Laman, and Daf Ayin Gimel and Beis, because there's a funny case in the Gemara. Haimad the Shada piece of Dikla, Rav Papa the Havamina Dischayev Shtayim. If I throw a clod of dirt and knock dates off the palm tree, then Rav Papa thinks of Chayev Shtayim for Kotzer, so I knocked off the date, and for Mifarit, for a type of dash. And in the end, we say you're not Chayev Shtayim because it's not the derech to be Kotzer by throwing clods of dirt, it's not the derech to be Mifarit by throwing clods of dirt. But that's just not the derech. Fundamentally, this is a maisa of Ksivra, which makes sense. I'm knocking the date off the tree. It's a maisa of Visha called Mefarik. Why is it a maisa of Mefarik to knock a date off a tree? Where's the Mefarik there? So, the Rashbam says, quoted by Tosfos, that the Mefarik is that there's a peel around the date. And when I knock it off the tree with a clod, it falls all the way down. Unlike when you usually pick it off the tree, all you do is pick it up, pick it off the tree. When I knock it off the tree with a clod, it falls very hard on the ground, and the chavata on the ground knocks off the peel. Okay, so that makes sense. I'm knocking off some sort of klipa. Mefarik is a klipa, and it's wherever Havik Modash. I knock the klipa off. I've never tried to see if it works. Let's assume that this is a reasonable interpretation. As Bob says, I'm knocking off a peel. But Rashi there seems to say that I am knocking the dates off of the branch, off the lulav. And the Ran there also says, he says, I'm knocking the dates off of the lulav. Rashi actually creates a different problem, like knocking the branch off the dates off the lulav. And that's the coat there. That's not dash, that's getting it off the tree. So it might be that Rashi would have used the Ran. What it means is that first I knock a little piece of branch off, and then I knock the date off the branch. But Rashi seems to say here, and the Ran says here, that just knocking the date off the branch is dash, is mefarit. And Rav Hanal says just knocking dirt off the food is mefarit. So even though the Shusha Shabbos quotes someone wants to say that no, maybe what Rashi meant is that the date is enclosed by these branches. These branches fan out over the date and form an envelope around it. But that's a little dacha. Pashas is that Rashi and the Ran and the Ayin Gimel and Beis are trying to say even just this attaching something where it's attached and not enclosed is dash. And Rabbeinu Chananel that the dirt is saying even if it's just attached and not enclosed that's dash. That seems to be maskana of the Eglei Tal. Maskana, based on this, seems to be that dash can be either when ochel is enclosed by psolis, or ochel is attached to psolis. Of course, that's going to be a little inconvenient for us because we have to figure out why we allowed to take grapes off the clusters on Shabbos. Okay, but, so Rashi might seem to have a broader Hagdorah that, and this seems to be Rashi, because Rashi Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis says knocking the date off of the branch is dash, where it's attached to the branch, and Rashi Daf Sadeh Amud Aleph says milking the cow is dash, and he says the milk's not attached. It's not Kibur Nechmar, but it's enclosed. So if it's enclosed, that's dash, and if it's attached, that's dash. Anytime things are stuck together, whether by being enclosed one to the other or being attached one to the other, and you break them apart, that's called dash, according to Rashi. That seems to be the Masgad of the Tal, the Shisa Shabbos interprets Rashi this way. There might, yeah?
But everybody presupposes that the natural connection.
Aha, so this is a little unclear whether it's only with a natural connection or not. The Eglei Tal says most people presuppose it's only a natural connection, in which case you could disagree with Rabbeinu Chananel. Say, even if breaking off psolis that's attached is dash, but dirt isn't, that's not a natural connection. But it's lo kol kach pashut, because we know one of the tolados of dash is if you squeeze liquid out of a piece of cloth. It's not a natural connection. So it's not so pashut that disha has to be a natural connection. I mean, we assume that opening a bag is not dash. right? So there is. But we have to figure out exactly what the yeder of maybe when we get the slita of dish is whether or not it has to be a natural connection. That's the discussion of Egli Tal in Sif Cotton. I don't recall. Okay, there's a discussion then in the Egli Tal. The Taz seems to perhaps have a third approach, at least the way most people interpret the Taz. The Taz in some Shin Yud Tes, which hopefully you got a chance to see, cut Dalid, seems to say that if you have kitnios in their shells, and Vafilum kvar nitku me'erev Shabbos, you're allowed to take them out. If they're already disattached from Erev Shabbos, then you're allowed to take them out of the shells on Shabbos. The way the Berelach and others read the Taz is that the Taz is saying, if you have kitnios in the shells, but they became not disattached, like the kitnios were attached to the shells, and then you gave them a knock before Shabbos, and they were disattached, just rattling around in the shells, you're allowed to open that on Shabbos. That's not a Shash of Dosh. It says it is a Shash of Borer. You have to do it Lealter. But it's not a shash of dosh. What does the Taz seem to hold? Right there. The Taz says dosh. Is only if it's attached. Only if the kidney is attached to the shell is it dosh. If it's just enclosed but not attached, then it wouldn't be dosh. That seems to be the, or some people interpret to be what the Taz from saying Shim Shin Yud Tes.
How did Gari Nim fit into this picture?
How did anything fit into this picture? Right? Peanuts, Gari Nim, oranges, bananas, grapes off the clusters. I mean, these are all different things, right? Some of them are peanuts are just enclosed but not attached. Grapes on the clusters are just attached but not enclosed. Oranges are both. Right, the Gari Nim, I don't think they're attached. I think they're just enclosed. But I'm not sure. I never really looked so carefully. It's actually they could be. All of these are a very good question, which obviously we're going to have to solve, maybe before the day is done, if we work the merits. The, yeah?
Did you say that Taz is working off the Prima Gaudi, and that really, once it's not attached to the shell, that already is enough that it's not enclosed? Meaning
but it is enclosed.
Yeah, but what does enclosed mean?
Enclosed means there's no way out. It's in jail. There are walls on all sides.
Unless you take it, you've already taken it from it. So you've already done some kind of a mice, meaning it was attached. Now you've done something. So now it's not the same. Would you say that if you had something close up to you, that that's, you understand what I'm saying?
Maybe. Maybe say that's why you're allowed to shell peanuts, because the peanuts aren't actually attached to the shells. They're just inside them. Why can't he say that?
What's missing the Taz and Rashi?
Rashi seems to say if it's attached but not enclosed, it's usher. If it's enclosed but not attached, it's also usser. Not just usser, but chayim. Because why? Because the case of ayin gimel amud beis of the date on the branch is attached but not enclosed, and we would be mechayiv yuchatzis if you did a kedarka. In the case of milking, and that's tani heyam alf, according to Rashi, is he said mefurs, it's not attached. It's mifgut pocket v'loki v'ri mechmar, but it's enclosed. So that's considered. I mean, again, unless you want to say like there's one person quoting the Shitzah Shabbos, says Rashi's the same as the prima gadim. And the dates are enclosed by the branches which grow on all sides of them of the palm tree. Yeah, sure. But if you don't want to say it like that, most people understand the Rashi either way. There is another funny shita, which we won't really go into, which the Egli Tal quotes, the Maharash and the Maharil suggest. I don't think they pass like this, I think they suggest. But the Maharash and the Maharil bring down a shita that dosh is only if ochel is enclosed by psoles and not attached. It's only if the ochel is inside the psoles and davka not attached. If it's attached, that's not dosh. It's a strange sheet, it's a little funny to figure out exactly what the svari is. Maybe Tal himself said maybe they didn't actually mean what they seemed to mean. There's just some other technical svari in that case. But they seem to have a funny sheet, that dosh is only getting something out of an enclosure which it's not attached to. But if it's attached to, then it's like guf echad, and it's not getting something out of something else, just breaking the guf echad. So that seems to be not a mainstream sheet at all. The Eglei Tal wants to say they don't even mean that.
As the Taz explained milking cows.
Oh, it's a big machlokes we've shown them what the malach of milking cows is. There's plenty of sheets to choose from. Rabbeinu Tam rejects the dash. I mean, for a very simple reason. Ain disha ele begidulei karka. So many Rishonim say it can't be. Milking cows can't be dash. So that's not a problem. You don't have to agree with that Rashi. Not only that, you could say that chalav is chibur mechbar if you so desired. Although it would seem a little funny. It doesn't seem like chalav is chibur mechbar is attached. But you could say chalav is attached if you wanted to. The truth is, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Maybe the chalav is attached before you milk it. I have no idea. Like, is there just like a sack of chalav there that's just waiting to be squeezed out? Or is the chalav somehow like it's absorbed into the tissue or something? And this is beyond my expertise. I'm not any type of physiologist. Okay. These are the basic, so these are very, very basic questions about the geder of, very basic questions about the geder of borer. It clearly has to do with things that are stuck to one another, separating them. But stuck being one is in jail of the other, or one is just attached, glued at some point to the other. That seems very prima gutum assumes it's only shayach talking about dosh when something's enclosed in something else. The Eglei Tal, the Taz seems to assume it's only shayach talking about dosh when things are glued to each other, they're attached. The Eglei Tal, based on Rashi, seems to say in the end that no, really, either way, Shai talked about dosh. When things are glued and attached to each other, breaking them apart is dosh. And when one thing is enclosed and jailed in something else, it's also Shai talked about dosh. Whenever you have to break something, whether you have to break it because they're glued together, or you have to break the jail to get the ochel out of jail, that's Shai has to talk about dosh. And this obviously creates certain problems for us. Again, if you say like prima gutum, you have no problem why you're allowed to take grapes off the cluster. And if you say like the Taz, you have no problem why you're allowed to eat peanuts. But if you say like the Eglei Tal, then you have a problem. You have to explain both of them. Just the Eglei Tal does, so we need to worry. That's the geder of dash. Now, in terms of the halachos of dash, so there are, you know, the smaller part of the malach of dash is the actual dash when you actually get things out of their shells. The bigger inyan is schita. But let's start with actually getting things out of their shells. So if you just look, simen shin your test at vav, actually most of these, there's a simen shin chaf about schita. There's no simen about like actual dash, like breaking something out of the shell. There's no simen about that. But it's spread in a few places, mostly stuck in the middle of Borer here, in Se'if Vav, if Molulin Belivos. So there's a bit of a steer in the sugyas about Molulin Belivos. First of all, what is it mean Molulin Belivos? So if you have wheat, lav das the wheat, if you have any type of grain, kitnius, whatever, they all come in some sort of pod or husk, right? Like peanuts come in a little thingy, or peas, right? Come in a pod. Or wheat comes in the husk, all these plants, you know, we don't see them always. But they all come, all these legumes and grains all come in some sort of husk or pod. So molin melilos would be the normal way of threshing, of course, is that you put it all on the ground and you step on it, or you have your animal step on it, or v'chuli. That's the actual disha, which is they did in the Mishnah. And then it would all be a mess on the ground, which is why you need to do Zorah and Borer to clean it out, or at least, well, Zorah, really. You need to do Zorah to get to sort the Ochel and Solus into separate piles. Molda Malilos is something which people would do at home. They would take the legume in the pod, or the grain in the shell, or husk, or whatever it was, and just roll it in their hands and break open the shell, and then out would come the food part. Right, and this is something you did, you know, on a small scale. Molin Molilos. So what's the halacha of Molin Molilos on Shabbos? So first, there's machloket, the Gemara clearly says usher to be Molel Molilos on Shabbos. Beit Sadaf Yud Beis on Beis says Mefurish, you can be Molel Molilos on Yontif. Big machloket, exactly how. But you can't be Molel Molilos on Shabbos.
what's so bad about doing Lola Mulilos? There's a fundamental machlokes rishonim. You know, this again, it's not just some obscure thing with wheat. I think the same thing would be like peanuts or anything, or peas in a pod, anything that comes in a pod. You know, if you don't thresh it, you know, the way they did in the time of Chazal, or maybe still do, I don't know. I mean, nowadays they just have a big threshing machine, some big truck, that part of it just, you know, puts pressure on it the same way the ox uses Stefan and threshes. It's the same idea, they just do it with machinery. But if you just break it in your hand, molda molilos, so the Rabbi Hananel, same thing in the Sefer Aruch, said that's an Issa D'oraisa. Mol the Malilos is an Issa D'oraisa. That's Mamish Disha. You're breaking the grain out of the shell. However, Rashi on Beis Adafi Beis and Beis says something which is a bit surprising, although maybe we'll have to see why he says. Actually, no, I'm not sure. I'm not sure why he says a surprising thing. But Rashi and Daf Yud Beis on the Beis of Beitza, bless you, says Mola Malilos. The Dosh Kalachar Yadu Afil B'Shavas Lav Do Raisu Ela Midrabanan. It's only Drabanan to do to be Mola Malilos. Only Drabanan. Why is that? Why does he say it's only Drabanan? Why isn't this Mamish Nisha? There's a bit of a machlokes on the later Hurn. I'm trying to figure out why Dosh, why Mola Malilos, not a Malach Doraisa, according to Rashi. Seems to be two opinions that I found. I don't know if anyone found any other opinions. The Egle Tal says it's not Disha Doraisa because you ever notice in a peanut, even after you crack the shell, it still has those like brown peeperish peels on it. Wheat also, even after you crack the husk, still has a thin peel on it. So he says this is not Disha Doraisa because you're not really getting out the food. There's still another peel on it. You're just taking off one peel, but there's still another peel. That's not Disha Doraisa. Then the Tal explains that's why Rashi says only Disha Doraisa. This isn't just an obscure sheet of Rashi. The Mishnah Brura passed before us like Rashi on this. The Mishnah Brura right there in some Shin Yutes. Sivkat Chaf says, also refnei shenir ekidosh. It's also because midrabanan. It's like dosh. It's like dosh. So and he says, why does Rashi say that? Because if it's mutar yontif, you should manage with mutar yontif. It must be it's only a dosh drabanan. So Rashi says only drabanan. The Egle Tal, we paskin the Mishnah Berurah paskin v'halacha. There's only a dosh drabanan. He's not worried about the Rashi. He knows the Rashi. He quotes the Bashar Tzion. He's not worried about that. He calls it like Rashi. It's only Disha mi de Rabbanan. Why is it only de Rabbanan? The Tal says there's still another peel inside. The Aruch HaShulchan, here also, in some Shin Yutes, says because it's not the normal way of Mefarik. Because the normal way of Mefarik is to take the Ochal out of the... The normal way, he says two things. Either do Disha Mamish and step on it, or to take the ochel and break it away from the psoas. But in this case, of Mola Malilos, what do you do like when you crack nuts or you crack a peanut or you rub the husk of the wheat? You break it in half and the wheat drops out. Says that's not the normal way of Mefarik because it's normal to take the food, not to just let the food drop onto your plate or the ground. I'm not sure that's a pasha, because he has to be nidchak to say, if you actually step on it, then it's normal to let the food drop out. But if you're using your hands, and if you use your feet, the normal way is just break it down. If you use your hand, it's only the normal way to take the food, not to break the psoas and let the food fall on the floor. It's a big chiddush in Sarah HaShokhan, but they're trying to explain why it's only drabanan. Lemaisa, Malila is only drabanan, either because there's still another peel inside, or because it's not the normal way of dash, because you're not using your feet. And it's not the normal way of Mefarik, because you're not taking the ochel, you're just breaking the shell and letting the ochel fall on the table. Okay, somehow it's not an Isser Doraisa. The question is, now that it's not an Isser Doraisa, is it Mutter or Usser? So here we seem to have a Sfira. In Beis Adaf Yud Beis on the Beis,
it says you can be molda melilas on yontif, but not on Shabbos. You can be molda melilas on yontif, but you can't be molda melilas on Shabbos. But on Shabbos, daf kuf kuf ches. I'm an aleph. The Gemara says, mefurash, that if you have, now I'm not exactly sure where the brachah go, what these, all these peculiar things are, bundles of seya and azov and koronis, there's some type of herbs or spices, like cress or hyssop or thyme or things like this. The Gemara says, mola v'ochel, the Chacham Rav say, mola v'roshe et v'osa v'ochel, you could break them apart with your fingertips and eat them, but you can't use your whole hand to break a lot of them. So what did the Chacham say? That is mutter you can do a little melila, you can break them a little with your fingertips. Not with your, meaning what's the real way of mola? You put a bunch on your hand and you go like this and rub with your whole palm. That's awesome. But if you just take between your fingers and your thumb and just roll a little with your one with your fingertips, that's mutter. So all the Mishnah were bothered by this theory. How come in Beisa, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, said it's us to be molded on Shabbos, only mutter and yontif. But in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chav Ches Amud Aleph says that it is mutter be molded even on Shabbos. So what's the, or the obvious answer is, what's the obvious answer? No, right. Mark Beitza is talking about if you do it the normal way, you put a lot on your hand. Without what's called a shinoi. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Kol Ches, is talking about with a shinoi. Right? So Gemara Beitza, Daf Yud Gimel, also says mutter with a shinoi. Say, no problem. This is talking about without a shinoi. And this is talking about with a shinoi. Very poshut. That's really, it's a very poshut way of resolving it. This. They still sit for him down, the opinion of the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rush. However, Tosfos and Beitza says otherwise. Tosfos says in Beitza, it's not enough Yud Beis, it's on Daf, Yud Gimel on Beis, that on Shabbos is also be molel, even Beroshe Etzba Osav, even with your fingers. Right, Shabbos is also even to use your fingers. So Tosfos says, that on Shabbos it's also to be molel, it's really, it starts out being machlokes on Yom Tov. Tosfos says, even on Yom Tov, it's only meant to be molel with your fingertips. On Shabbos it's also to be molel entirely. So Tos says Asik Molo entirely on Shabbos. It's before tomorrow enough. Kufkov Kesmas on Shabbos is about to be Molo. So there are two ways to resolve this Gemara. The Bala Mor is the less common way. The Bala Mor says on Shabbos of Kufkov Kesmas, we're only talking about some type of herbs like Seya and Azov and Koronis and these kind of herbs, where there were matter Melila of these herbs because they're not. Not exactly clear why he seems to say, because since you don't do a lot of malachas to these herbs, it's not going to lead to doing malachas. Because you're not normally boring them, you're not normally, which other malachas did he mention? Yeah. You're not normally shochet them, you're not normally doch them, they need more squeezing. So that you can't do. Not exactly clear. He seems to assume that by the tvua you need like more grinding and pressing them than by these herbs. So he says really by kidneys and tvua it is usur, and the matter is only by these herbs, because these herbs are a very, very easy kind of melila, which they are matter, but the kidneys and tvua require a very hard kind of melila, which they usur. That is not seen to be mainstream. The mainstream way of defending Tosfos is quoted in the Mordechai and the Ram, the Mishnah Berurah also brings down. The Mishnah Berurah says that this case, this is what the Mordechai and the Ram explain, that in this case, the Shabbos Kuf Kuf Kesem and Aleph, when it's talking about these types of herbs, these herbs aren't in shells. They say you don't need to get them out of their shells in order to use them. When you rolled them in your fingertips, you weren't doing that to get them out of their shells. You were just trying to soften them a little because they were too hard. If you take a hard thing and you rub it in your hand vigorously, you soften it. So he says, that's not talking about disha at all. That's only talking about softening to make them rock. So really, the Gemara Daf Kof Kof Chesam and Aleph doesn't prove anything about a heter of disha on Shabbos, of melila on Shabbos, because it's called melila because you rub them in your fingers, but it's a totally different kind of melila. That's talking about when you have hard herbs and you want to make them soft, so you just rub them a little and soften them. You don't get anything out of them. If you're actually getting something out of them, like a peas out of the pod, or the peanuts out of the shell, or the wheat out of the husk, or whatever other kind of kidneys it may be, then that is mamish usur and Shabbos, no matter how you do it. The truth is that that Tosfos does have a certain logic going for him. So, well, let's just summarize. So what's halacha l'maaseh then about molim melilos? According to Tosfos, there's no heter molim melilos on Shabbos. Nothing's talked about. The only heter is if you're trying to soften things, but if you're actually trying to get things out of their shells, there's no heter on Shabbos. No matter what you do, you cannot get the peas out of the pod on Shabbos. Nidzel. According to the Rambam, the Rif and the Rush, sure, there's a heter. You're not allowed to do it the normal way, but you're allowed to do it with a strange way with just your fingertips. Not exactly clear why it's mutter to do it with your fingertips. I mean, normally you're not allowed to do malach klar yad. But I guess somehow, in this case, the Rabbanan felt that was so like eating like that it's more of a derech achila, like defined by Borer, or maybe they just said, look, you got to eat on Shabbos, you want to have these snacks. So it'll be makel to you, especially if you don't like Rashi, it's only Rabbanan in the first place. Malila's only Rabbanan, and then you do it with your fingertips. Okay, so we have room to be makel to allow you to enjoy yourself on Shabbos. But it's our makel on Shabbos. So that's fundamental of Drushonim, whether Malila is at all mutter on Shabbos or not. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, it's Mishin Yotetz if Vav, it's a machlokes between the Machaber and the Rambah. The Machaber says, "Ein molu melilos, nala b'mol melilos, ela molu b'shina ma'brosh et bo'osav." Rather, you have to do it in a little bit of a strange way, using your fingertips. So the Machaber says, "Very pashut." He says, "Look, I hold very simple. I hold like the Rambam and the Rif, right? These are the people who's always so much fun." So he says, on the one hand, it's also do it without shinui beit d'afid beit on beit. The other is mutter to do it with a little shinui mat, barosh et v'osav, like we see in Shabbos, daf kuf kaf kes amud aleph. That's the Ramah comments. The alfi shemfarik ochem tov shibolim. Even though this is mamish mefarik, you're getting the ochel out of the shibolim. No problem. Hold the ima farik rach lach riyad, because you like whole shari, since you're only doing a kalach riyad in order to eat. There are a lot more makel. You can do a kalach riyad in order to eat. Again, I'm not sure if the story was they were just makel, or that somehow, like you find in Borer, if it's done in a non-professional way for eating, then that's just part of eating. But they're a mekel. Then the Ramah quotes Yesh Machmirin. He quotes that Mordechai and Ram based on Tosfos. Yesh Machmirin. So the Ramah Yesh Machmirin. And how does he paskin in the end? And he makes a pshara. He says, according to those people, Achin also the farakai goes and lose him or as it goes to be don't be passing at Yeroka. According to those machmirim, you can't shell these nuts from their green shell. What's the green shell? We've probably never seen a green shell of a nut. Because a nut has two shells. When it grows on a tree, like you know a walnut, right? It looks like a piece of wood. If you go to a walnut tree, you won't see a walnut. You'll see this green fruit. Because it has this green husk on the outside, and when you break off that shell, you get the woody shell that, like we see when we buy a bag of walnuts and bring them home, that you crack with the nutcracker. So that outer green shell, so nowadays, even in those days, not so fashion, but we never see the green shell. In those days, they were a little closer to nature. Everyone knew about this green shell. It wasn't a secret for Talmid Chacham only. So in those days, so your grandma says, look, if you hold like the Machaber, then you want to crack that green shell? Well, don't, you know, start doing it with the whole professional process. Don't even put a lot of them in your hands and rub your whole hand, but take them in your fingertips. You have the strong fingertips, or maybe they're that maybe green, for the green shells, maybe you don't. Take them to your fingertips and just rub off the green shells in a slightly different way, and that's fine. But for Tosfos, there's no answer to break open the green shells. Can't do it at all. You can't be mold them at all. And how does he paskin? The Tov Lahakmir Meyachar Diyakul Akhman Kakulo Pirav. He makes a pshara. He says, look, I mean, the Rambam riffs the better story, so it's a little smoother. So he says, Tov Lahakmir, if you can do without. Right, so the Rambam says, he says, Me'ikra Din. He says, look, we really hold like the Machaber, that's the Roman Pumpkin. But it's better to be Machmir because you can avoid it. It's better to be Machmir because you can avoid this. You can avoid doing the Lila. That's what he paskins in the end. Better to be Machmir because you can avoid doing the Lila. He's not so 100% clear on how you can avoid doing Malila. Like, so how do you eat the nuts? It's better to be Mafir, because you can eat them without paper, without taking off the green shell. How do you eat the nuts? If you don't take off the green shell, it's not the... What? No, the Ochlum Kimbalo, that's not what it sounds like. It's not so clear exactly what it means. But mostly Achronim seem to assume that... Mishnah Berurah doesn't comment here. Most Achronim seem to assume that what he means is, instead of breaking off the green shell, you can just sort of cut them and take out the nuts on the inside and never take off the green shell. Right? You can just slice it with a knife, scoop out the nuts, and never take off the green shell, and that would not be considered dush. We'll have to figure out why that would not be considered dush, but he seems to assume that would not be considered dush. Okay, we'll come back to that.
He's not saying to eat them with the shell?
You can't eat them with the shell.
Especially
I don't know. It seems a little hard to eat them with the green shell.
Stand
out. Right, so anyone, who's the one who's in charge of the biscuit chewers? That lesson?
Yeah.
So I think he quotes a number of the Achronim quote that what the Rama means here is that you can just like break off not the green shell, but just take the nut out of the inside shell and leave the green shell stuck where it is. You know, you can sort of leave the green shell on the wooden shell, not take that off at all, and just take the nut out of the wooden shell from the inside. And again, we'll have to figure out why that's much, but we'll get back to that in a moment. Now, in this Ramah, what do we see here? We see that if we want to know when is there a heter of taking off a shell or a peel or a husk, when can you take off a shell? We should make a list. Pashtas, that's classic disha. Don't get me told it's like skita, is to take something out of the shell. So the first case is we have here is molel b'rosheyes be'osav, right, which is the machaber, and even the Ramah, you know, says, well, if there's no other way, then you can really make up that the road posting. So that's one heter. You're allowed to roll it with your fingertips, and even the Ramah agrees you're allowed to roll it with your fingertips, except in cases where you can avoid it. The truth is, the Magen Avraham is a big problem here. The Magen Avraham quotes, the Halacha also mentions this, that there's a tzarech ion in the minhag in the time of the Achronim. Said tzarech ion the chol olam noeg in heter, that everyone was noeg heter to break open the kitnios from the shells, not with their fingertips, the regular way. So apparently, the days of the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah also mentions the Halacha, everyone was noeg heter to do it even without a shinun, and he couldn't figure out where that was. He tried to grapple with it a little, but he didn't really have a good answer. So what is he trying to say? He's trying to figure out that's one heter. One heter is to use a shinoi, which the mechaber for Sfarim flying in fresh Ashkenazim, if you have to, you can use. But there were people who used to break open the shells of the kinyos even without a shinoi. Right? Okay, so he's trying to come up with some other heter also. So he comes up with another interesting heter, which the Mishnah Berurah also quotes. He says, hold on a second, if they're soft, this is the Magen Avraham that Mishnah Berurah quotes, if the sharvet, which is a pod, is soft and edible. Right? When you first pick some kidneys in a pod, like I don't know how peas work. Peas come in a pod, right? So when you first pick those pods, if they're young pods and very fresh, you can eat them. Maybe that's what snap peas are. I don't know. I know if they're different species or just different circumstances. But if you leave them, they get very hard and they become inedible. So the Magen Avraham said, if they would be super fresh, you could eat the pods. But you decide you don't want to eat the pods, you only want to eat the peas, or whatever kind of kidneys it is. But you could, the pods are edible. He says, in that case, I can understand why the olah would be mikol. That's a heter. Why? Because there's no ochel and psolas. It's ochel and ochel. Let's go offer the ochel de ifras. Everyone knows ochel from ochel is okay, right? That's why you're allowed to squeeze the lemon onto the fish, right? Because the lemon juice is going to the fish, so it's ochel. Ochel from ochel is okay. It's only gosh to take one thing out of another thing. Right? But imagine, let's say challah. If I scooped out all the white part from the challah and left the crust, that wouldn't be dash. Why not dash? I'm taking out the one part from the... That's because it's all food. It's all the same thing. To be dash, it has to be two different challah shems. Like ochel and soles, or like mashke and ochel, which is where you get the schito. But ochel from ochel is not dash. Automatically not dash. Even if I decide to only eat the inside of the ochel or one part of the ochel, right, that's not called, just not together, dash. So he says, if the pods are soft and edible, that's automatically not together, dash, because it's just ochel from ochel, and you have to be in the mood for ochel A and not ochel B. But if it's all ochel, that's not called dash, because you're not getting one thing separated from another thing. You're taking something that's only one. You're not getting X out of Y. You're taking X and cutting it in half, saying, I like one part of it and not the other part. So that's one heter among the run. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Eglei Tal actually argues. This becomes a very technical halachic issue. The Eglei Tal doesn't like this. He says, anything that's sofo lahakshos is not called an ochel. It's a big discussion all over Shas, right? If something is going to become something else, what halachic status does it have? He says, since it's going to become an edible, it's considered psolas. But the Mishnah Berurah says among the run, he says, taka, that's a good limitzchus, that's a good real halacha. I don't care that it's so full of hachos, it's going to become hard and inedible. If right now it's an ochel from an ochel, I don't care what it'll be tomorrow. It's still mutter. So that's a good, that's a good thing. That's what I'm going to have wrong. Wanted to say maybe people only eat it when it's still moist and edible, and that's why they break it open without a shinoi. Because even without a shinoi, that's mutter, it's ochel from ochel. The taz throws in this other line, not he's not dealing with the limitzchos on people. He just says, "Vochein also." He says, "Huadin bekitniyos shadayim mechubarin b'sharvitim shegogli mahim." Any kitniyos that are attached in the pods they grew in is usher. Vafilin tvar nitkami of Shabbos. What if they were disattached on Friday? Then ein likach kitniyos when a klipos alash rosa lechol miyad kachnulares. You're only allowed to take what you need for the altar. Now, why are you only allowed to take what you need for the altar? Because otherwise it'd be boring. But thus, she seems to assume, if for Nitkan, Meir Shabbos, they're already separated from Meir Shabbos, there's no problem with dush. What did that heter seem to be saying? So the Taz wants to sort of give another heter. The Taz says, if it was already disattached, that's what we quoted here. And the Be'er Halacha rejects him. The Be'er Halacha says that's ridiculous. You Taz want to say anything that's disattached is not Borer? That's not true at all. Anything enclosed in a shell is Borer, even if it's disattached. Possibly even the Taz didn't mean to say that. Maybe he just meant to say if it's disattached, and it was broken open and it's not enclosed anymore. In any case, even if the Taz meant to have this kula, that's not a valid kula if the Maharash and Maharil had another kula. If it's attached, this mutter to do, thus that's also rejected. So those kulas are rejected. The only kulas we have so far in Disha are either do it with Barashayes Ba'osav, Melila Barashayes Ba'osav is mutter, or if it's all soft and edible, then it's all one item. Now, of course, the one thing we haven't mentioned yet is the Ramah takes it as a Zavar Pasha that you're not allowed to break off the green peel of the green shell of the nut, but he doesn't even bother to explain why you're allowed to take off the brown shell of the nut, and why you're allowed to peel oranges, why are you allowed to peel bananas, why are you allowed to anything else? Everything. Every single fruit that we eat, why you're allowed to take off the shell, is just ignored and not even discussed in this whole stiff. It's just our posture, so that's not even something to talk about. Why that's not something to talk about, we'll have to come back to it. Here's Hashem.